we present the news quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the news quiz. We start with something heard on Radio 5 Live this week, read by Zeb Soans.
Aaron Ramsey will miss Wales's game against the Republic of Ireland tomorrow night as his wife is giving birth to twins. Full commentary of the event is on BBC 5 Live tomorrow.
Our thanks to Jim Hibbert in Brighton for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Helen Lewis and Neil Delamere. And opposite them, on my left, Felicity Ward and Susan Kalman. Helen, guess who's not coming to dinner?
Oh, this is a sad Brexit story, which is that Theresa May went over to Brussels for the summit, and she got 15 minutes before dinner to talk about how great everything is going over here, and then they booted her out so that they could have turbot in beer and pan-fried mushrooms. And I'm presuming after that she did what I always do whenever I go to Brussels, which is get confused about the strength of that delicious fruity beer, stagger home shouting at pedestrians, and then have a kebab. I mean, that fits with the picture of Theresa May that I already have. I think we'd all agree. But I'm really worried because we record this on a Thursday night and it goes out at the weekend, and I think she's going to crack it, you know? I really think by the time this goes out, it's probably all going to be over. All of this is going to be terribly, terribly obsolete. I mean, it looks, I admit, on the surface, like everything is going really terribly. The EU leaders cancelled their summit in November because they said we hadn't made enough progress. We still haven't worked out... No one knows what a backstop is. Everyone thinks it's something to do with rounders, but is now too afraid to ask because it's been too long. It's just embarrassing. And basically, the plan is that they will solve the Northern Irish border issue by asking for more time. And I just think she thinks there's going to be a solution involving zeppelins or drones or possibly a time machine. She can go back and reunify the continent, stop it drifting off. That might be her best option. But that's where we are now. Basically, she just wants more time and then it'll definitely all be sorted.
How's the whole sort of backstop thing looking, Neil? Presumably you're completely on board.
Absolutely, completely on board. But I'm glad that people are now realising that it's quite a complicated situation. The border, like, I'm sick of these politicians going, oh, the border is not complicated. Boris Johnson, that half-man, half-golden retriever that he is. It's just so frustrating. The border isn't that complicated. The border goes down the centre of certain roads in Ireland. To the extent if you're driving in one direction, you're in Northern Ireland, and the other direction, you're in the Republic. That is a complicated situation. If you have to drive into another country to overtake a car... that is a complicated situation. Get your passport out, Mary. We're going to burn this fella on the outside. Situation, isn't it? And you won't be able to even weave in and out of traffic on that road either, because if you do, you look at your mobile phone and there'll be 45 text messages on it. Welcome to Vodafone UK, welcome to Vodafone Ireland, welcome to Vodafone UK, welcome to Vodafone Ireland. See, the worry is divergence. There are houses that straddle the border. I was in County Fermanagh. My friend said the front of that house is in the Republic and the back is in Northern Ireland. Like, so what happens if the laws diverge after Brexit? What happens if euthanasia is legal in one jurisdiction and not in the other jurisdiction? Grandad, come down for your dinner. I'm fine where I am.
I'm going to say something positive about Brexit. So I'm going to say maybe Brexit is a good idea. The problem is that having a good idea doesn't mean you can implement that idea. And that, to me, is the issue. It's like, I'd really like to be Batman, but I've not worked out how to do it yet. I did feel sorry for her because they all went to the pub and there was photos of them all coming out the pub and poor Theresa wasn't invited. And I've been that person, not being invited to the pub. I mean, not because I'm destroying the United Kingdom, but just because I'm a nasty drunk.
Now, of course, you're an Australian country known for diplomatic clout and ability. Where are we going wrong, Felicity?
Oh, look.
If we are.
If you are. No, you're doing a great job. Brexit feels like we've been waiting for a sneeze to come on for 2 years. Where you're talking, you think it's fine, and then you, like, Theresa May goes to Brussels, and you're like, oh, no, here it comes. No, it's here. Oh, no, we've got an extension period. Okay. And that is just... It just feels like it's never going to happen.
I will defend Theresa May on one thing and one thing only to the death.
Her politics.
And that's all we've got time for.
No, our Dan dancing. She was trying to join in. The rhythm takes us all in very different ways. Yeah. And she was letting herself go. And you know what? It's not that easy to be a woman on television. Trying to have a dance.
So when Theresa May does Strictly next year, what advice do you have for her?
I think she should just be the woman that she is for the British public, and I'm sure she'll get all the way to Blackpool, and I look forward to an ex-Conservative Prime Minister dancing in Blackpool. I'm sure that will go down tremendously well.
She probably won't even dance. She'll just go, I'm not going to dance, but vote for me, otherwise you'll get Jeremy Corbyn dancing.
These are the very latest developments in the Brexit negotiations, and it seems Theresa May can envisage the transition period being extended for what she described as a matter of months. If the transition can be extended, then who's to say it can't last forever? It'll be like Narnia, where it's always winter but never Christmas, and Mr. Tunnus is Dominic Raab, but with the legs of a goat. Theresa May has said she's willing to extend the transition period, and I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say, yes, please, why stop the party? I don't want to take my Brexit decorations down yet. I'm still waiting for the bit where we all gather round a bendy banana and sing No Surrender before bashing a piñata shaped like Sakir Starmer QC. Ruling out a second Brexit referendum, the Prime Minister said the people voted and this government will deliver on it. Though, of course, that delivery will now be so severely delayed that we will all receive a free garlic bread. After speaking to the European leaders, Theresa May left them to eat their meal and went to eat alone in Brussels' least hygienic muscle bar, in the hope that for a brief three-day window she could have the relative relaxation of agonisingly voiding herself from both ends instead of having to deal with Brexit. 2 points to Helen. Neil, whose house might have a dodgy speaker system?
This is this report, Dame Laura Cox's report, into harassment and bullying in the Houses of Parliament. And basically, it's 155 pages long, and it said that the system for dealing with these complaints, it's not fit for purpose, and that the leadership should go. Some MPs, like the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry, and she's been backed up by Dame Margaret Beckett, have called on John Burko, the Speaker, to stay because he has lots of experience and he can guide the House through the turbulent times ahead. That's pretty much the story. The logic of this, I'm struggling with the logic of this because either it is right for him to go or it isn't right for him to go. He shouldn't hang on for the sake of Brexit. Like, he's not the only one who can do the job. He's not the super vet. Like, you know, there's 650 MPs. Other people can do this, you know. Pick somebody else. They can read up on the procedure if they need to pick somebody else. Like, they're not going to go into the House of Commons and just not know what's going on. Or is it whoever has the conch speaks? I mean, I think they're going to know. So I don't necessarily buy the logic behind it. But is that the right answer to the question, or was that,
no,
very...
No, that is the right answer to the question. I didn't know if you'd reached a full stop or it was the first dot in the parentheses. So, but you... That you've got your points are safe. You're not going home empty-handed. If you want to speak more, you can. If you want to fold your arms and relax, you can also do that.
I'm going to go for the speedboat, Jim. I'm going to go for the speed.
This idea of sort of continuity and people saying, you all saying, oh, look, being the leader of the House of Commons, anyone could rock up and do it. But I, you know, sitting in the middle of a load of people just sort of talking is actually... it's actually very difficult. Yeah. And I don't want you to forget that. Helen, have you been working in or near Westminster in recent weeks and days?
No, I try and avoid it because it's so weird. honestly, it is. I don't know if you've ever been in Parliament, but all of the galleries around it make it feel like a kind of giant municipal swimming pool. And you're all ranged around the side, except obviously it's much worse than a municipal swimming pool.
Does it smell of chlorine? What are they trying to hide, do you think?
But the noise that comes out of it is really extraordinary, and I just think anybody who hasn't ever kind of been and watched it, you know, any Prime Minister or any leader of the opposition at Prime Minister's Questions has to kind of face a kind of wall of noise that I guess you only otherwise get maybe like a football stadium. But imagine kind of going out and trying to make quite a boring statement about police statistics, like in a Millwall game. That's basically how we conduct all of our politics.
I think football chanting would make it much more interesting. You're shit, and you know you are. Like
that. Yeah, but they kind of, like, they translate that into kind of 19th century speak, which comes out as kind of... But I kind of, the intention is very much the same.
Theresa May got asked about the findings of the report, and she said, oh,
It's very worrying. And the tricky thing is, it's good to have her support, but it's tricky to know what worrying is, relatively speaking, for Theresa May. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is dancing to ABBA at a conference and 5 is running through wheat fields and then 10 is leaving the EU. It's just hard to gauge, you know?
This is a report into bullying in Parliament, which will come as a stern warning to MPs, reminding them that they're only supposed to destroy the lives of people who are not on the premises. Speaker John Bercow has been accused of bullying and been called upon to stand down, at which point one assumes he'll follow the example of all the greatest British bullies and start his own House of Commons on Amazon Prime. I'm not entirely familiar with John Bercow's era. My wife and I have got through the House of Commons DVD box set. We're still working our way through Betty Boothroyd. just started the debates on Maastricht, and I reckon that's probably the last we'll be hearing of that. During his time in post, John Bercow has relaxed the dress code in the House of Commons, which has included allowing male MPs to not wear a tie, Commons clerks to not wear wigs, and for backbenchers to speak wearing little more than a dirty onesie dripping with Bisto. That last one isn't true, but it's very much the direction of travel. Dame Laura Cox said that Parliament needed to press the reset button, which is achieved by finding a tiny hole in the back of Dennis Skinner and pushing a straightened paperclip into it. 2 points to Neil. Felicity, why might there soon be 4,000 holes in Blackpool, Lancashire?
Oh, so there is some fracking going on. It is when companies blast water into shale to extract oil and natural gas, and they do it in very safe places like heritage sites and residential areas. They stopped 7 years ago. They stopped fracking and they put a ban on it because they had minor earthquakes in the areas. But they haven't had an earthquake for like 7 years, so they've decided it's safe again. And you know what a minor earthquake is to me? It's, have you ever had an old family dog and they have toddlers running around and the toddlers go straight for the tail and the ears, and there's only so long the old dog can endure it, and then eventually they issue a warning growl. Just a little low growl, and that is what a minor earthquake is. It's just Mother Nature saying, I'm on my last nerve here. So I would think very carefully about what you do next. And what's actually, no fracking has taken place since 2013. And funnily enough, what's holding them up is, I love this, local councils are processing it a little bit slowly. And I just say to, there's a company called Quadrilla, and they're looking to frack. They want to get their process moved quicker. What I say to them is, take a ticket, because I've been trying to get a recycling bin for 2 years, yeah? So if you want, I mean, don't even get me started on the vegetable bin. I don't know how my sweet potato skins are going to compost themselves. Anyway, this is the only time I've been grateful for the bureaucratic turmoil of a state that local council is in. Have you ever been to a website of a local council? Sometimes it just says, no, thank you. Sometimes it just says, we're closed. How can a website be closed? Anyway.
I think the fracking story in Lancashire, I think it's a Brexiteer's plan. This is my theory, right? Because, no, it all comes back to Brexit, because there's about 9,000-10,000 wind turbines in the UK already, right? So if you burn more gas, sea levels rise, what's a wind turbine become then? A propeller. Right? That's what's going to happen. Sea levels are going to rise, and you're going to just slip away from Europe in the middle of the night. We're only going to know in Ireland when we look out the window in Dublin and see France. That's what's going to happen. I do like, the story is brilliant, and the thing about the protesters, so these protesters, their whole sentence was quashed, right? It's the first time somebody who's environmentally protested has got a custodial sentence since 1932, right? And the prosecution alleged serious disruption when they blocked this road. The only disruption that happened was somebody had to deliver maggots to a local aquarium in a wheelbarrow, not by a truck. And I'm not making it up. That is genuinely what happened. Not we were barricaded into our homes. Not it took us, you know, it was like a prison on our entire street. It took slightly longer to feed our fish. That was it. It's not Martin Luther King, is it? I have a bream. No. You can't. You can't clap and then go, oh, yeah, halfway through, right? Make up your minds.
They can, they have, and they will again.
This is the restarting of fracking at a site near Blackpool for the first time since 2011, following the defeat of a legal challenge brought by anti-fracking protesters. Last time I was in Blackpool, I was thinking, sure, this log flume is brilliant, but what would really take it to the next level would be the ever-present chance of an earthquake. They do have to be very careful with the gas, otherwise next year they switch on the Blackpool illuminations and the whole place will go up like a rocket. Whatever you do, don't try fracking at home. I had a go in the garden, and you never forget the image of a rabbit on fire. 2 points to Felicity. Susan, what's caused a very undiplomatic incident?
Well, there are two parts to this story. One part of it is obviously extremely horrific. It's the alleged murder of US-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which is something that's stunned and revolted, I think, most of the world. Apparently, a Hampton side, the Saudi embassy in Turkey. And for even the most sceptical, I think, of people, there is evidence that the Saudi regime has been complicit in this. The problem is that Donald Trump isn't most people, and that really is the issue that we're faced with. Donald Trump is a man who would deny his own existence if it helped him. He's a man who's happy to give people the benefit of the doubt as long as that person is a man, and, well, that's it. Say allegedly about anything to do with this because it happened. This is, you know, sometimes when we deal with the Russia stories, I'm a little bit more worried because it seems to be, you know, if you just pop to Salisbury for a bit, something might happen to you. Saudi Arabia, I'm never going to go to Saudi Arabia. They don't like my kind of people there. They don't like the Scottish. And most people think this is happening. Even Liam Fox has dropped out of a conference. This has clearly happened, but Donald Trump is more than happy to just let it all kind of slide until there's some real evidence, and they're just kind of denying any of it really happened until they know the proof.
The kind of only grim amusement you can get from it is I wish that people could pin them down on what their explanation, alternative explanation is for what they think happened, right? So Donald Trump said it might have been rogue killers. Mm. So someone else might have broken into the Saudi embassy in Istanbul and killed and dismembered a journalist. That's really the line that you're pushing. Exactly the same with the Skripal poisoning, where Russia went, these guys who are on sequentially numbered passports were simply looking at the Salisbury Cathedral spire. We've entered this weird new era where states now just not only carry out these kind of extrajudicial killings, but kind of just taunt everybody about them. That's the really scary thing I find about it.
You must be happy to be British this week, though, in fairness, because Saudi secret agents are clearly involved in the disappearance of a respected journalist, and your secret agents are lovingly carrying a baby around in a papoose. See that? Oh, that's great. I agree with Susan, though. Like, Donald Trump, he defies all analysis. The best piece of analysis I've ever seen, I got into a taxi in West Belfast after he was elected, and the taxi driver said to me, God, America is so partisan now, isn't it? All the Republicans on one side and all the Democrats on the other. I couldn't live in a place that divided.
This is the storm of protests surrounding Saudi Arabia following the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, although the US maintain we should treat the Saudis as innocent until proven guilty, while the British government say we should treat them as innocent until we cannot sell them any more arms. Donald Trump said this could all be the work of rogue killers, although personally I think once you become a killer you've stopped being a rogue and your behaviour frankly borders on the actively naughty. It certainly makes our boring, non-murdering royal family look a bit tame. Although the new royal baby will be seventh in line to the throne, which I personally hope they take as a challenge. After Brexit, Saudi Arabia will be one of the few countries that we'll be able to trade with. So, to anyone listening in Riyadh, I hope you like jam. 2 points to Susan. And at the end of round one, the scores are Helen and Neil have 4, and so too do Felicity and Susan. We start round two with something seen on the Brighton Argus Facebook page.
A squirrel trapped in a Brighton fabric shop for 24 hours has now been freed. The owner of the shop is asking that people stop putting their nuts through her letterbox.
Thanks to Paul Ockenden from Shoreham by Sea for sending us that. Helen, which country has gone to pot?
Oh, this will be Canada, which is now a legalised recreational cannabis. I like this story because there was one of those inevitable... You know, like when new Harry Potter comes out and everybody queues up for it? Well, that's exactly what they did with the first legal pot. And there was a queue in Newfoundland. Someone said, I want to be the first person to buy pot at midnight. And you think, well, that is kind of the time that you want to buy pot, fair enough. But the guy was called Ian Power, and his quote was amazing. It was, it has been my dream to be the first person to buy the first legal gram of cannabis in Canada, and here I finally am. And I thought, isn't that lovely to have goals in life? That is the last goal you will ever have, Ian Power, apart from kind of more hobnobs. But there was an incredible statistic, which was that half of people in Canada believe that taking cannabis will not affect how well they drive. A number which will obviously go down as those people die. So check back in about 5 years.
As to govern 4 hours, queued for the last Harry Potter. Accused in the rain for the Harry Potter book. You're dressed up.
Did you? Oh dear, what else? The little Quidditch thing. What's it called? The snitch.
The golden snitch. Snitch.
The golden snitch.
Practical costume.
That is kind of what Fergie dressed up at the royal wedding as. Did you not see the hat?
It did look like a snitch. It did. Anyway, I'm not the best person to speak about these things because I don't like drugs. I don't need anything artificial to make me feel hungry and depressed. Well, the only drugs I take are maybe some ibuprofen or some paracetamol if I want to double dose my painkiller, but that's it. Maybe an antihistamine.
If you've got the weekend off.
Neil.
I suppose they're going to get something like $400 million in tax off it, I think, is one of the things that they mentioned. And it is very funny to watch somebody else who's massively stoned. The most stoned I've ever seen anybody was in Amsterdam when my friend, he got so stoned. Do you know those vans that drive along, the street cleaning vans with the brushes underneath? He got so stoned, he looked at me and went, I am going to get a shoe shine. And he did, and he broke two toes because he was wearing flip-flops. And the same guy, I ended up at a party with this in this Welsh lad's hotel room, right? And so my friend was partaking and I wasn't, and it was in Amsterdam as well, and he had no paper to roll the joint, so he actually took the front page of the Bible, Gideon's Bible, and so he rolled it perfectly, and my friend said to him, do you smoke a lot like this? And the guy just went, I got to the beginning of Exodus once.
This is the latest news from Canada, where Justin Trudeau's government have legalised the recreational use of cannabis. This hit the front pages in Canada, knocking the tale of a man in Toronto who bought a new tumble dryer onto pages 2 to 17. A side effect of the legislation is that it's freed up the Canadian police, who can now devote more time to cracking down on the national shame that is widespread syrup theft. These are all stereotypes, this one here. I've got loads of them and I like them all. I've always steered clear of this stuff. My mother made me promise when I was very young that if I didn't touch drink or drugs until I was 21, she'd let me start dealing on her patch. 2 points to her. Neil, who's mooning themselves?
Oh, yes, this is a Chinese city, Chengdu. And they're building an artificial moon. So they're going to launch it into space and it's going to be 8 times brighter than the real moon. And they hope that it's going to boost tourism and it's going to save on streetlights. This is the theory, which begs the question, how expensive is electricity in China? Interesting fact about the artificial moon in China. When it's in orbit, it will be the only man-made object that you can see from the Great Wall of China.
I think this is it, isn't it? This is post-Brexit. This is the kind of thing we'll be able to do with nary a regard for health and safety or the idea that it might plummet out of the sky in a flaming kind of... Is it actually going to orbit?
It is, yeah.
Because my vision of it was just, like, essentially quite a big kite.
It's a big mirror, basically.
Isn't that the plot of a James Bond film?
But they were building this for a while. The research has been going on for a while. How do you keep that secret? What's that in the garage, Derek? Oh, it's a barbecue. Why is the garden pond gone tidal? Yeah. Like, we don't know what effect it's going to create. Kind of dusk all the time, so nobody knows what's going to happen with nocturnal animals. It's going to be badgers walking around with eye masks on. Just make it stop. Like, if you think pandas don't mate enough now, wait, you can't turn off the lights.
I'm just really disappointed that it's not made of cheese.
Well, we don't,
what
we don't
kind
know
of
that.
Cheese, Felicity? I would say baby bell. That would be my preference.
A massive baby bell wrapped in Jarlsberg, because then you've got all the craters.
Oh.
Swiss cheese.
Right.
It's not a joke, but it does match up.
There's a certain coherency to it. Helen, you work for the New Statesman. Which cheese would you make a moon out of?
I think baby bell, you're on something. It is the most coherent cheese.
Well, it's got the firmest texture, because you can... A baby bell also lasts a long time in the fridge without...
I'm sorry, can I put in a word for Edam?
What about cheddar?
Well,
cheddar's got
to be you're racist.
No, but the thing is, if cheddar, when left exposed, the sweat on a cheddar is unattractive, whereas a baby bell really could survive quite a lot.
I'll be honest, sweat on a cheddar does turn me on.
We seem to have glossed over the fact that he called you a cheese racist. And you all went, well, he's dead right.
I'm Australian. I get called a racist all of the time. I didn't even register.
This it's not that impressive a project, really, when you think about it.
Making your own moon.
Yeah. Because all it is, it's a big mirror.
Sounding a little bit like Shania Twain now, Neil. What do you mean by this?
That don't impress me much.
I'm forever referencing that song.
Basically, you know when you were a kid and you were in school and it was a really sunny day and all you tried to do is just reflect the sunlight off your teacher's face just to blind them? It's just a big one of them.
Back to cheese?
Yeah. This is the news. This is the news that China is to launch a fake moon into space, its latest cheeky jape after kidnapping the president of Interpol. It's one of those things that when you boil it down, you think, is it any more ridiculous than Six Music? Look at the pluses. Double the moons, double the chance of being bitten on the bum by a ravenous werewolf. There are literally no downsides. 2 points to Neil. Felicity, have a listen to this. Little donkey on the dusty road. Got to keep on plodding onwards with your precious load. Been a long time, little donkey, through the winds of night. Don't you give up now, little donkey, Bethlehem's inside. Well, what's not to love about that? Felicity, who's a real pain in the ass?
There is... Now, I read about this. It's basically, there's a big hill in Santorini, which sounds like it's in Italy. Santorini. It's not. It's in Greece. Found that out the hard way. why is there tzatziki on my pizza? Anyway, so there's this... A big, beautiful hill in Santorini, and it's got lots of steps and it's very popular. They have a cable car and that only takes 6 people, and that will take you to the top of the hill. So you can get the cable car, you can either walk, or what they do is they put tourists on donkeys or mules and they charge tourists to do that. But the problem is that a lot of these tourists are coming straight off cruise ships, which are not known for their strict diet and exercise regime. You're trapped on a boat. It's like a 9-day wedding reception. Anyway, a living nightmare. So what's happening is these very relaxed cruise ship people are injuring the donkeys and the mules. So the government have tried to introduce and pass legislation that a donkey can't carry more than 15 stone or 20% of its own body weight, because otherwise it'll constitute for animal cruelty. Now, I think this is a great direction and a great start. I'm all for looking after the donkeys and the mules. But I think that we can go a step further, take the donkeys and the mules out of the equation altogether, right? So the people who are able-bodied, they have to walk up the stairs. That's it. People who are differently abled or elderly, they can take the cable car. Now, the cruise ship people, one word, catapult.
A I just, for my holiday this year, went on a cruise.
Mm.
And I would not have ridden a donkey. I would have walked up the hill or stayed in the buffet, which is... on our cruise, I did not go to Pisa, Florence, Rome or anywhere else because the buffet was quiet and I just spent a long time working my way through that buffet.
Yeah.
Because on a cruise, you take two different sizes of clothes. You take your first size of clothes, then you take your end of cruise clothes, and you grow into the clothes as you go.
Aspirational.
Absolutely. The aspiration was work my way through everything. And it was the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. Just eating and eating and eating and eating, and then sleeping for a couple of hours, and then getting back up and eating again.
Could you not just moor a dinghy next to a Morrison's?
There's a couple of things in this story, right? The first thing is in Santorini. So Santorini's in Greece, so Greece needs the money from the tourists, right? Because Greece is broke.
That's
right. If you look at it, their debt is 175% of their GDP. 175 out of 100. That is a lot. If you got sunburned to 175% of your body, that's all of you and three quarters of somebody else. But that's going to be an awkward conversation, surely, at some point. So somebody gets off a cruise ship and goes up to the man who has the donkey or the woman who has the donkey, and the person looks at the person who got off the cruise ship and then looks back at the donkey and then looks, well, you're too fat for my donkey. So what's going to happen then? So I would suggest if you know your donkey well enough, you could probably just judge it based on the exhalation of the donkey. The person gets onto the donkey, the donkey goes, like that. You take the person off the donkey. Or you watch them, and when they get off the cruise liner, if the ship just pops up in the water...
It's very hard to tell with a donkey exhalation because their natural noise is, oh.
That's true, yeah.
So if they're going, you just might think they've got something in their throat.
You'd really have to know your donkey.
You
well.
Would need to
you
know
would.
Your donkey.
Yeah.
Okay, we see, I can't believe it, but we seem to have run out of time for this question. But I genuinely hope this has helped. This is the Greek government's introduction of a law targeted at tourists on Santorini, preventing those above a certain weight threshold from riding donkeys. If you're unfamiliar with what donkeys look like, just picture a horse that's recently lost custody of its children. It's one thing after another over there. In 1500 BC, the eruption of Santorini triggered the cataclysmic events that destroyed the Minoan civilization on Bronze Age Crete. And now this. Of course, in Santorini, the smashing of plates in a restaurant isn't traditional. It's just used to cover up the sound of farmhands shooting crippled donkeys long into the night. Still, you'd think if a donkey could bear the weight of a pregnant virgin, it should be able to carry a tech support worker from Bracknell in a Hawaiian shirt. Susan, who bottled their attempt to learn a language?
This is Coca-Cola, who made a bit of a mistake when trying to ingratiate themselves with the population in New Zealand. There was a vending machine and it had Kia ora mate on it, which actually means, in Maori, Kia ora is a greeting, and unfortunately mate means death. So it said, hello, death. Which isn't the greatest advertising, I think, in the world. I mean, I'm not upset about it because I've seen worse adverts, more insulting adverts in my life than that. Sometimes I throw things at my television when I see adverts for yogurt and the women are very happy. I've never been that happy eating yogurt. I've always just thought, I wish this was chocolate mousse. And it's just, it's a mistake. They've tried to integrate and someone's just not actually checked that the language... what it is. You're nodding at me like, does it happen a lot?
No, what they've done is Coca-Cola have gone, oh, maybe we can get a little bit more of that sweet, sweet coin if we try and incorporate some of the indigenous language of New Zealand. Now, New Zealanders call each other mate, as do Australians. Obviously, we're better. But the thing is, Kiwis call each other bro. So there's been lots of people saying it should have said kia ora bro if they wanted to combine New Zealand English and Maori. But greetings, death. That is the right thing to say before you drink Coke, isn't it? Just look at it. And I just wonder, is it a marketing blunder or is it a very self-aware employee / consumer?
If you had to spend Christmas with my family, greetings, death is better than holidays are coming, holidays are coming, holidays are coming.
Can I ask a question about Australians' attitudes to New Zealanders?
Yes.
Which is it like upside down Scotland to you? Like, is that the relationship between Australia and New Zealand?
It's, no. well, we're not part of the same kingdom, so there is the first difference. Jesus. I know we're in the same hemisphere, but no, we're two separate countries.
Are you quite far apart?
We're a five-hour flight apart to begin with. And we have.
You sound the same though.
No. you sound so English. Anyway,
do you have neighbours?
Sorry,
do you have neighbours? Is that?
Do I have neighbours? Do you mean the people, the concept, or the TV show? The answer is yes to all three. Do you know my favourite Neighbours reference? This is the biggest brag that I can do about Neighbours, and only if you're above a certain age will you get this reference. It's Radio 4, so I'm assuming, yes. that my mum's best friend, her mum was Helen Daniels.
No!
Yes! Anne Hattie's. That does deserve a round of applause. Thank you.
I once met the vet who put down Bouncer.
Helen, you love him.
Hold on, hold on. How do you...
Absolute lie. But how... Absolute lie.
He wasn't a vet. How did...
Just a bad driver.
So, just to clear up the New Zealand thing, we have a similar relationship, I'm assuming, to America and Canada, where... we would be the Americans, which we have very bad foreign policy. And New Zealand has better policies. They have better respect towards their Indigenous people. They absolutely hate us, quite rightly so. But
New Zealand hates you?
Yeah, well, I imagine they hate being mistaken for Australians.
Right.
Because we're bigger. And but also because there is a lot of things that we do wrong as a country.
Right.
And when you are smaller, you would like to be recognised for who you are and what you do, not... Thank you. You know. You know.
God, what a profoundly moving evening. Oh, the friends we've made along the way.
It does happen a lot, though. This sort of stuff, like the Kiora Mate, it happens all the time.
Can I just check with you? It's Mate, is the pronunciation.
I think it's Mate.
Mate, yeah. Mate. Because it's in the Haka.
Yes.
It's in the haka. Death is mentioned in the most famous haka that the All Blacks do. But New Zealanders are kind of laughing this off because it does take an awful lot to rile a New Zealander. I really like that about them. You know the emblem of the New Zealand Air Force is? It's the Kiwi word. They can't fly. Like, that is a serious lack of ambition on their part, I would have thought. But the argument is because obviously it's sugary drinks and then they contribute to obesity and obesity is a horrific thing for Western society. On the downside of that, though, you would lose the best TV programmes in the world, which are weight loss programmes. The single best piece of television is when somebody loses weight on an American TV show and then the trainer makes them carry dumbbells to represent the weight they've lost. Mm. And they're like, oh my God, how was I carrying an extra 10 stone before? I'll tell you how, because it was evenly distributed all over your body. Skinny everywhere else and had two massive 5 stone hands. Just dragging them along the ground. I can't eat chocolate, it goes straight to my fingers. Now, I do feel a bit dodgy commenting on this because Ireland's going to be the fattest country in Europe in 15 years.
Hmm.
And somebody clapped that at the back there. Yeah, you're right. They tell us this like it's a bad thing. It's good news. Only 180 years after the worst famine in Western Europe. I call that a comeback, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody else bounced back like we did. Those people in Pompeii just died. If they were Irish, they'd be selling lava lamps by now.
This is a Coca-Cola vending machine in New Zealand which features the slogan Kia ora mate, an attempt to mix Maori and English, which unfortunately translates into Maori as hello, death. It's particularly embarrassing because death is, of course, a trademark of Lilt. This is only the latest in a series of existentially themed soft drink promotions, including Pepsi's adoption of a skateboarding Jean-Paul Sartre and the now infamous I Think, Therefore I Have Been Tangoed campaign. Bit of trivia, if you put a child's tooth in a glass of Coca-Cola, people will ask you where you got it from. 2 points to Susan. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they would like to share? Helen.
This is from Helen Dean in Worcester, who saw this advert on a job vacancies website. Litter pickers. We are recruiting staff to Cheltenham Racecourse this autumn and winter. Our role is to keep the venue clean and tidy. This will involve clearing litter, emptying bins and dealing with bulk waste. You will need to be reliable and conscious.
Neil.
This is a headline in the Liverpool Echo, spotted by Matt Larkin. This man burgled the pub twice in one night. Now he's behind bars.
Felicity.
This is taken from the Dorset Daily Echo, sent in by Julia Jepson in Lee and Dr. Alex Glover in Dorchester. And Patricia Daubney. A man was taken to hospital after a crash involving a motorbike and a military tank this morning. The motorcyclist sustained a suspected fracture to his arm and leg and was taken to Poole Hospital. The driver of the Warrior tank was uninjured.
Susan.
Martin Gies in Cardiff saw this advert in The Guardian. Looking to get erectile dysfunction treatments from the comfort and privacy of your own home? Available for a limited time and may be retracted without notice.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Helen and Neil have 8, and so too do Felicity and Susan. Before we leave you, here is a job advert on a recruitment website seen by David Hammond in Wisbeach, Cambridgeshire.
Mortuary assistant needed at Queen Elizabeth Hospital, King's Lynn. The successful candidate must have good communication skills.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Helen Lewis, Neil Delamere, Felicity Ward and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Madeline Brettingham, James Kettle and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Edward Easton and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Nick Coop, and it was a BBC Studios production.